In the name. In the name. That's what Emma was talking about earlier on. Names. And I'm going to remind us about something to do with names as I take this and... Ooh, it is heavy. I'm pleased I always have help. Oh, and the plug stayed in as well. When you do that, the plug normally flops out. But there, the font, naming. For many people, we were named as we were baptized. And those lovely words that we say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And for those of you who know me, I really enjoy explaining what names mean. Because there's often a deeper meaning behind a name that has something to do with the character of the person and also to do with perhaps what God is seeking to do in that person's life. And in some ways, our names define us through our lives. Would you say that's true? That our names define us through our lives. And my name, Chris, I prefer to be called Chris, because even now, if somebody calls me Christopher, I think, oh my goodness, what have I done wrong? Who have I upset now? Because that's what my mother always does. Just Christopher. I think, oh heck, what's happened? And I don't know if that's the same for you. If you've got a shortened version of your name, if you hear it in full, you think, oh my gosh. And you know, when you meet someone for the first time, very often the thing that you'll ask them is, hello, what's your name? What's your name? It's something by which we can identify somebody. And Ruth Danton, sitting quietly at the back there, I remember over 11 years ago now, when I first came to St. George's, that Ruth said, look at me, then look at the window up there, and then you'll remember my name, because my name's in that window up there. It says Ruth. And you see, I have remembered all this time that you're called Ruth, and every time I see you, I look up at that window and I think, what's her name? Ruth. Ruth. And Ruth was a great woman, wasn't she? Ruth was a great woman called by God. It's a fantastic story. I won't tell you the whole story now, but Ruth essentially was really called by God to go to Bethlehem from her home in Moab. And she said to her mother-in-law, who she was going with, she said, your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. And so she came to Bethlehem, and eventually she was very much connected with the family line of King David. And so Ruth is a great woman in the Old Testament, and also with that saying of hers, she links, I think, very well with Pocahontas. Your God will be my God, and your people will be my people. Now, this past week, I've been at Westminster Abbey. Ooh. I've been at Westminster Abbey. Ooh. And there are one or two names in there. My golly. Everywhere you think, oh my gosh, I've just trodden on Isaac Newton. And, oh gosh, that was Charles Darwin there. Oh, Charles Dickens. 3,300 names are remembered in Westminster Abbey. Some famous, some infamous, some well-known still, or some not well-known now. And on Saturday, yesterday, there was a special wreath-laying ceremony remembering St. George. Now you see, that's a link there. Now, there's a name. And tomorrow, in fact, is, of course, St. George's Day that we're remembering here today. I'm not sure whether... I always find... You mustn't say anything, Patrick. But I would find the name George a difficult one to think of when we come to baptism, because it has to do with cultivation. Yorgos is Greek for a farmer. And so, where do you go from there? I think God plants a seed and those sorts of things. And God planted a seed, certainly, in the life of George. And tradition has it that George is buried at Lydda. Now, Lydda, in modern Israel, is Lod. And we were close to it, weren't we, Brian? because it's hard by Ben Gurion Airport in modern Israel. It's not far from there that St. George is, they say, buried. George was a soldier in the Roman army in the Middle East, and he died in Nicomedia in modern Turkey on the 23rd of April in the year 303. He was killed by order of the Emperor Diocletian because he protested against the emperor's persecution of Christians. And so that was how George quickly became known as an example of someone who, in the name of Christ, spoke up and acted in defense of the poor and helpless. As for the dragon, personally, I think the dragon is symbolic, not real. The dragon was the evil, the mercilessness of the emperor, the mercilessness of an empire, a symbol to symbolize that. It was in the early 8th century that George became known in England, and in the 900s he was made a saint. By the end of the 14th century, he'd become the patron saint of England, and it was in 1907 that he was also the patron saint of scouts. He's a saint of other things as well, and he's also the patron saint of other countries, not just England. So he's well regarded, is George, around the place. And so reading of George and other martyrs for the Christian faith brings real light to bear on our gospel today. If you remember hearing that when Charles read it to us, what Jesus was talking about. He was talking about choosing to follow him, to stand up for his way, and he says, on account of my name, because of what you believe, because of what I have taught you, because of the way that I've called you to be, you may suffer and be persecuted, because my way is not the way of the world. But what a name that is, Jesus, the name that means God saves. And in our hymns, in our songs, I'm sure you can name a few, but just think, Jesus, name above all names. Jesus is the name we honour. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. We sing all these songs here in church. And yet, as we sing them, do we really take in, do we really appreciate the power of Jesus' name? To sing, yes, to sing those words, but also to take them into ourselves and to realise the importance of his name in our lives, the name that is above all names. It is an honour, isn't it, to be called and to serve such a name, now as then. Although we may not know such intense suffering as those suffered in the early church, we may attract still some strange looks, some scornful, perhaps difficult comments that we get. But like George, down the ages, many Christians have paid for following their faith with their lives. And some of them are commemorated. Some of the saints of the 20th century are commemorated in Westminster Abbey. And already this century has no shortage of Christian martyrs. But the power of Jesus' name is evident right from the beginning in the early church, as we heard when Alison read to us from the Acts of the Apostles. And the Acts of the Apostles tells of the development of the church in those years after Jesus died. And it was customary for many people to act on behalf of or in the name of someone, acting with their authority. And so the disciples are asked, whose name it is in which they act? Have they got the authority of the emperor? Have they got the authority of this person or that person or the other person? But the name in which they act is the name of Jesus. And Peter, it is, now forgiven and restored by Jesus, is so bold. Peter tells it as it is. The man who's been healed has been healed in the name of Jesus, with the authority of Jesus, in whose name we too offer prayer for healing here at St. George's now. And Peter underlines just who Jesus is. He says, you crucified him. God raised him. You rejected him. But he is the cornerstone. He is the keystone. He's the most important foundation. And in case you're wondering, Peter goes on, there is salvation in no one else. In no other name is there salvation. And that was the church's message then and through the ages, that Jesus, Jesus alone can save us. Jesus died so that we could be forgiven and know new life, eternal life. We're called to walk God's way in God's name. It truly is no different now, that God calls and we respond in Jesus' name, and we are known by our name. As Emma was saying earlier on, God calls us by name and we are known by our name. And at confirmation service, that's what the bishop says to the candidates. God has called you by name. There's a word to each one personally, each one known and loved by God. Now, I think it's true to say that none of us knows quite where we may be led in Jesus' name. We're thinking of Stuart and Margaret's ministry earlier on today. And I'm sure that if we ask them to tell the story of how they came to be called to ministry, there would be an element of surprise in it. I've not known many people who don't go, who? Me, Lord? You want me to do what? And certainly that's true of me, and Helen's nodding as well. And so all those who serve God, there is that element of surprise, of unworthiness. Lord, you call us. And yet, when that call comes, it is insistent. It has to be responded to. And it's amazing here at St. George's how many have been called by God. We can think of those called to ordination, others called to be readers and lay ministers, and others called to serve who we're in contact with still, but who now serve in different parts of the world. And others serve in so many ways, because it's not about being ordained, it's not about being authorized as a minister, it's about how we live our lives as Christians, responding to God's call in that way. People serve in so many ways in the life of the church and of our community, as we'll hear at our annual parochial church meeting later. And we rejoice as we remember all those who have served here in the past, recent and not so recent. So in Jesus' name, I ask you on this Vocation Sunday, are you being called by name by God today? Are you being called to take a further step in his name? A step of faith, a step of service. Truly, honestly, when we're baptized, we have no idea where it may lead. But in Jesus' name, all things are possible. And if you want later to just remind yourself of those promises made at your baptism, please, I'll leave the water there, and do feel free to offer your own prayers and to touch the water or whatever is your tradition. And so, in the name of Jesus, we are all called. In the name of Jesus, we're all called to respond to that call he has on our lives. Let's just be quiet a moment in prayer. And so, Lord, as we remember how Jesus explained that those who follow him were not going to follow an easy route in his name, we think of all those who responded to the call down the ages. We give thanks for the boldness of the early church. We give thanks for the bravery of St. George. We thank you for all those who have been prepared to give their lives down the ages. And as we think of ourselves today, Lord, we offer ourselves to you. We offer ourselves to you, the potter, and we are the clay. Lord, form us as you would have us be. In Jesus' name, amen.